one more then on the Oxford posture to come. Let's sing that little chorus. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pasture green.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord bless each one tonight. Those that made an effort to come, the Lord bless you. I just want to talk a wee bit about the poppy, and I want to talk about Pentecost. You say, how would that work, poppy and Pentecost? You'd be surprised how it works. I tell you, when you study it, it's really surprising on the dates how God moved. And how God poured out His Spirit. And I just want to mention a few things tonight, and a few men in England, what we never hear really mentioned, that God mightily used. It was so true what a brother John said this morning, that God certainly sent a prophet. God can have other prophets. And, you know, Mon said to me one time, he said, after the last 12, Tom, was no more apostles. And I said, there you are. I said, are you sure now you're right on that? And he says, oh, huh? I says, well, what do you do with Paul? He wasn't one of the 12. But the Bible says he was chiefest among them all as an apostle. He wasn't with the 12. He come after the apostles. But he was an apostle. And I remember counting it. I think it was at least 17, I can count, not counting apostles, in the New Testament. So God is definitely apostles, and we've had modern day apostles. Amen. God's still the same. Praise God. Let's read from Matthew 20, verse 4 to 9, and then verse 28 as well. Matthew chapter 20, and the Lord bless you tonight, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the meaning of the poppy, just some things I want to bring out of it, but I want to mention about God moving in that hour of time, and them dates as well, the Pentecostal. Verse 4 of Matthew chapter 20, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give it you. And they went their way. Verse 5. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, the same money. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need this evening, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. We'll certainly remind me in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the cross, for the shedding of your precious blood, for your body was wounded and bruised for our healing, and your blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Father, I pray your blessed are coming together tonight. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. I pray for the hands raised. Minister, meet every need. Lord, you know the needs, even unspoken in this house tonight. Lord, you know the deep needs. I pray you'll meet them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Pray you'll move in all those, Lord, tonight that's backslidden. Lord, it's gotten cold. Let's put other things before your work. Move upon them and speak to them. And add to your church such as should be saved. Lord, we need a real move of God. And we're asking you to give it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. Just a few thoughts and dates, first of all. And a few ideas from the flower. And we read tonight that he ransomed us, he redeemed us. And ransom means to be redeemed, as the price is paid. And Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago paid the price to ransom us. We were needing ransom from the devil. We were under his jurisdiction, under his power, because of the first Adam. But thank God there was another one came. And he was the Lord from heaven. And we know as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And he came in our room, in our stead, and went the whole way to the cross. And he set his face as a flint. He was determined to go. And he went. And he took our place. And he ransomed us with his own blood. He shed his blood so that we could be saved. And he ransomed us. And we know Leviticus 17 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus shed his life's blood to ransom us and to buy us back. Now, just to say a few things about the poppy, we know it's from the planter's fields. It's where the poppy grew. And the idea to use a poppy as a symbol of remembrance came from a poem in Flanders Fields by Canadian Dr. John McCrae while stationed in the fields. And McCrae and his fellow soldiers were inspired by the bright red poppies that littered the otherwise desolated landscape with the bombs, with the war, and where all life seemed to be destroyed, and with the bombardment of the shells and the conditions, but yet it was perfect for the poppies. and the poppies thrived in the chaos, and following the end of the war, the fields of Flanders were overrun with poppies, concealing the battered and the scarred landscape. You couldn't see it no more because the poppy flowers covered it. And all you could see was these beautiful poppies. And when we wear the poppy, we should wear it with pride. You know, there's a big fellow was coming in here this morning, and he was telling me and Mark, I think he mentioned to Mark as well, he had a real good poppy on, and he's coming along, and a fellow spotted him going past in the car, and he threw a bit of a flag up at him. For the head of the parliament here would have been one of their flags that he threw up at him. But your big lad was telling me he was near ready for the confession after he popped. But that's neither here nor there. But you see, a lot of people don't like the poppy. Now, you might remember it, but I do. But you know, the Premier League, you mightn't watch the Premier League. It doesn't matter where you watch it or not. My team's at the top of it at the minute. But anyhow, they have all the poppies on their shirts this year. But one year they didn't have. They didn't let them do it. There was a whole big thing about the poppy. Nobody knows that. That's not long ago. And over here, there's a whole big fuss about what certain ones wouldn't wear the poppy. And now, I'd like you to see the intelligence, because you see, those Protestants and Catholics both died at the same place. And they fought for their country. Both sides died. And this poppy is important in the sense of its remembrance. Now, World War I was from 1914 to 1918, and World War II was 1939 to 1945, and the guns fell silent on the 11th hour and 11th day and 11th month in 1918, bringing to an end World War I. So that's actually tomorrow. But we do it on the Sunday, obviously, but it's tomorrow. Now, just for a bit of history, and I'm going to read you in a moment and tell you about revelations about the angels had to stop, and it's connected to the World War. And remember as well that God visited a man in America by an angel around this same time, 1946 actually, and he sent him forth with the gift of healing. Now we all know that, but what about in England? What about what God was doing in England? And we don't, you know, we need to know some things, I believe, because when you hear some people, they tell it, but God moved in America, but there was no move nowhere else. Well, that's not accurate. You know, some of the greatest Pentecostal men come out of England, and they come over here, and they inspired many men here. And I've been reading a bit about some of them, and some of them I'd never heard of till I read about them. And you know, the beginning of the healing movement, the birth of the healing movement was extraordinary. It was an extraordinary thing, and it was birthed in 1915. The Elam Evangelistical Band with the Jeffrey Brothers. And I tell you, they were mightily anointed, and they were mightily used of God. And it could hardly have been less promising time. Let me read you this. As the nations was feeling the full horrors of the First World War when this Elam started. And in Monaghan, Ireland, a small group of young men had invited Welsh evangelist George Jeffreys to hold some meetings. Their fervour and faith threw them, and on the 7th of January 1915 in the Temperance Hall, the Elam Evangelistic Band was formed to spread the Christian gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to Ireland and beyond. And there were certain movements in this country at that time stood against it. And there were the same movements that I could tell you who they were, but I'm not going to publicly. And I know what they believe, and I know it well. But they said that Jeffreys was doing more or less nothing in the saving of souls. He was all into this healing business. But what about people getting saved? They said it was more important than anything. And it is. And when George Jeffreys held his meetings in a town not far from here, there was a massive amount of people got saved. far more than they thought. And many were healed as well
with the power of God.
And they say the movement that condemned them wouldn't have saw them conversions in years, what he saw in a few weeks. There's nothing like a Pentecostal movement. Let me tell you that here now tonight. It started on the day of Pentecost. God's movement was always a Pentecostal movement. Always. And I'm telling you, and I'm reading this is history, we know, but I'm telling you, God done this in the time of war. They just come out of the First World War when God done this. And today I hear preachers and people making excuses that we're living in terrible times and they couldn't be. We are not living in no times like people's lived in any worse before. Let's be honest about it. We're blessed. We're spoiled rotten. There's hardly a house hasn't two cars. And food on the table and clothes on their backs. Is that the truth? Years ago, people went about pushbacks. They couldn't afford it anything else. And they had to bake their own stuff for no other choice. They hadn't the money to buy things. And God moved. God moved. But the devils get in, as we heard this morning, Satan's eating. And our land and our young people's poisoned with internet and the garbage of the trash men of the underworld has broken.
Amen.
And remember what a prophet of God said when the seals were took of that book. He said, there's more devils loosed in this generation than any other generation. There's more devils to deal with. But what I'm telling you tonight, if God could move here in these conditions, God can still move. I'm convinced God can still move. Totally convinced of it. These are only my own readings and thoughts, and I'm just sharing them with you. And I had to come out of the wee room the day I was in reading different bits and pieces, and I never get enough time. I can spend plenty of time. And I love to read about what God's done because it inspires me what he can still do. Now, I want to go a bit further. I want you to think of that the Elam was formed in 1915. Then I want you to know that the Assemblies of God was formed in 1924. And Stephen Jeffries left the Elam from 1915 to 1924. It's not long, but he got out. And he formed the Assemblies of God. So he didn't stay long because he seen things that he didn't agree with. And he got out. And I've put these dates down. On the 1st of February 1924, the Assemblies of God and Great Britain and Ireland came into being. Now here's a name I never heard of. Never. You might have. John Nelson Parr. John Nelson Parr was born in 1886 and he lived to 1976. And he was a powerful young man. And when you read about him, they said he had great energy. He had great energy as a young man. And that energy he had it all his life. And his dad was a real alcohol, a drinker. And he had to go to work when he was 13 years of age. He liked school and all that, but he had to go to work and they hadn't got nothing. He did the post run as a wee fella, delivering stuff. And at 13 years of age, he had to go full-time working. And at 17 years of age, he went to a gospel meeting and he got saved. Then he come in contact with another man in England, what we all know about, Smith Wigglesworth. And when he come in contact with him, he got the baptism. And his dad threw him out, basically. He bolted him and threw him out of the house. And there's a bit of a row here, there, and all the rest of it. Then he was working with a group, and I won't name them, and he was studying, and they were telling him he would have to go through all these colleges and get himself educated, Bible studies and all that, dare you say. But there's an old man, and he got the hang of him. And he pulled him to the side, and he says, you see them Bible colleges? You forget about them. For he says, I know young men that went that way. And any anointing they had, they lost it. And any inspiration they had, they lost it. And he said, God's a work for you. So therefore he gave the college a miss. And he followed God. God began to move on him, and he worked a full-time job for many a year and preached, and he wrote a magazine back in the day. And he was connected with Stephen Jeffries. Oh, I tell you, God was working. God was working. Amen. Connected with Stephen Jeffries. And I tell you, let me read you this. I know it really, but I'll read you it anyhow. This Assemblage of God had 13 founding members when it started. And this man, John Nelson Power, was one of the 13 founding members when it started. And John Nelson Power pastored a small wee church, only a few people. And he left it for a while. And it fell into the hands of a man that was connected to a certain group, the same group that I've been talking about. And when he came back after a certain time, the place was ruined, he said. The women weren't even allowed to pray, never mind speak. And all the music was took out of the church. They weren't allowed music either. And all the gifts were stopped and everything was stopped. And basically your mom got the road when John Power came back. That's really the short and sweet of it. But he denominated them, like we heard this morning. And when he denominated them, all the blessing and the power of God went out. And they found out the road he was on and what he was doing and who was influencing him. He had to go. And John Power started in again and God began to move. And this man, John Power, decided to rent this big hall. And this big hall would hold at least 600 people. And he invited Stephen Jeffries to come. And Stephen Jeffries came and he helped Stephen Jeffries. And they had meetings. And he says the first few nights was terrible. Only about 50 people came. But then the power of God broke through. The power of God broke through. And here's what happened when the power of God broke through. Over 500 souls sought salvation during the 10-day period. Now you heard me right. Only 10 days, 500 were saved. Not to mention many who were healed from cancer, deafness, and lameness under Stephen Jeffries. I know we all know about George Jeffries, but Stephen Jeffries was a mighty man of God as well as George. And I'll go one further. Stephen Jeffries had a son, and he was mightily used. Edward, he was mightily used of God as well. And God used him, and he started a work as well. But I haven't got time tonight to end all that. But you see, these men sparked other men. They were so anointed. When you come in contact with these men, someone had to you. They weren't telling you nonsense. The power of God came at them. It came on you and it affected you. And then you met somebody else and it affected them. It was like Paul the Bible. I'm telling you, the power of God was working with each man. And power helped Stephen Jeffries in these meetings. And Jeffries, he'd left Edom at this time. And not wonderful how God worked all during the time between these world wars and around the time of the world wars. Now let me bring you up to read you this quotation. And this is really to do with the 11th hour. Watch. The 11th hour people would come up in the last calling of the Gentiles. Mother worked there, dad and them worked there, grandmother worked back there. This is our age, the 11th hour. The world war stopped on the 11th month, the 11th year, and the 11th day of the month, the 11th hour in the day, and the 11th minute in the hour. That 11th hour people might come in, what? Receive the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that the first did back there in the beginning, and bring back the power and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm telling you, because our dates moved on, and because we've excuses for what's going on around in the world, God still can fill us people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God can still move, and God can still bless. But God wants us to be hungry. We need to have a hunger. We need to have a desire. And Christians today are not hungry, and they have no desire. The least thing keeps them away from church. Just let's tell it how it is. I tell you, just a sniffle or any wee thing at all that's set at home. and you wouldn't see them for a month if they could get away with. But I tell you, you think of this when the rapture takes place. Whoever's going, is going. You'll not be sitting at home. It'll no matter where you're at, you're going up. The Lord's taking you. You're going. The angels is going to come. You think of that tonight. We should be people that's hungry. Let me read this as well. Now, I'm not here to tell you that. I want you to be blessed. And you know what happens sometimes? You have a word and maybe it's for people and they don't come to hear it. Do you know why that is? The devil doesn't want them hearing it. He wants to keep them in lethargic state. That's what I call it. Lethargic state. And if he can keep them in lethargic state long enough, he'll get them into depression state. And he'll get them sitting at home till they never come. And then they'll say, I would never do that. Now I've heard it and I've seen it. I would never go down that road. I remember a man telling me that years ago and I caught him by the arm. And I says, I can tell you something, you would do anything. If God moved his hand of you in a moment, you could do things you never dreamed of. And he done far worse than the man he was talking about. He ended up doing worse. And he hasn't come back to the Lord yet, this fellow I'm talking about. Still in the world, still away. Now the seventh angel's message is to open the mystery of the seals, calling the 11th hour Gentile workers to receive the same pay the first hour workers got, see. Now Jesus taught it. He said there was peoples went into the harvest. They were hired, and when they did, on the early morning received the same penny for the day as the noontime. Someone else come in and went to work, and then at the 11th hour, that's the last hour of the day, that someone come in and received the same kind of pay that they did at the first day, the last hour. It's so perfectly how the first messengers with the word, with the gospel, with the truth, they came on the day of Pentecost. Then there was a dark age that blocked them out. Then the middle of the day, Luther, Wesley, and then came on in, and then there is to be in the evening time a message and to receive the same thing that they did at the beginning. So it can't be nothing different. So when somebody comes along and says that this last day's message is a different message when Paul preached, that's a false statement. It's the exact same message. And the church began at Pentecost, and the church has to remain Pentecost. And God doesn't take us in to give us something less. Why would the Lord give us less? This is proven he doesn't give you less. This is proven you get the same wage. Even you come in a later age, a later generation, you get the same wage, the same baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same power of God, the same anointing of God still available tonight. But God wants us to be hungry for it. The evening time matches to restore back again, to bring back that same thing again. And I believe that with all my heart is to turn us back to the original apostolic message, what the first church had. And you look at these words, and we can't even think of it tonight. You know, what they went through and the sufferings and all them things. And yet God was moving in the midst of it mightily. Revival was happening. Think of it. During the war, revival was taking place. And, you know, Smith Wigglesworth went off the field and an angel visited a man in America. And this is what I tell people all the time. They try to tell you William Branham's ministry is to do this, this, to do this, and they have all these ideas. And I say, but hold on a minute. What did the angel tell him? Let's hear what the commission was. Not somebody's idea. The angel came to him and said, you are called to take a gift of healing to the nations. That's your ministry. That's what he told them. And he said, you're a prophet, but do the work of an evangelist. That's what he told them. And that's exactly what he did. And people worshipped the man and all types of nonsense come out of it. But the original calling's real. And the original thing's real. And what it came to do is to turn our hearts back to the original gospel message, where we preach the power of God under the Holy Ghost and believe in the Pentecostal experience. Now, I could go on in tonight and show you from this poppy, and I've done it before and I've talked about it before, and you could look at the poppy of the night and you could see the wee black bit in the middle could speak of sin, the redness could speak of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's just my thought on it. how you could preach the gospel out of it. And you see, the black is the center of all evil that the devil unleashes during the wars on man, and to try to take the souls of man. But the red pebbles are the blood of Jesus Christ surrounding the darkness and saving our souls from all evil and giving us eternal life. So when you wear that wee poppy, the black in the middle shows you the evil of the devil and the wars and the sin and the death. And then we red poppy speaks to you the blood of Jesus Christ. My, I think it's Jack Cohen. I used to love Jack Cohen. I've got Jack Cohen's tapes. I still have them. Old tapes, Jack Cohen. And, you know, I took them tapes. I put them on one of them wee pad things of Jack Cole, and I took them into a church when I went to Africa one time. And I'm telling you now, revival broke loose in that church because they believed it. They really believed it. And that pastor's dead and he's gone on, and his wife still had that wee machine, and that wee machine was still playing. And there was a Bible on there and different sermons, and Jack Cole's sermons were on there. But Jack Cole said when he got saved, and him and his mum got saved. And you know, his mum got saved and he got saved, and they went into a butcher shop and his dad was an alcohol. And when he seen the blood, he started crying. Because he just kept thinking of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And I tell you, these wee red pebbles should remind us of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blackness, Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. From one man, disobedience came sin. Sin's an outward spiritual attitude of rebellion towards God. It is expressed in the three acts, and I've mentioned it so many times, and we know it. And that's how it acts out: inward spiritual death or alienation from God, and physical death of the body, and finally everlasting banishment from the presence of God and a place of darkness and torment, separated from God. That's what sin does first. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Brings us back into fellowship of God. Christ came to save us from sins himself without sin. He took our sins upon him, died in our place, rose from the dead, that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. That's why Jesus came. Now we know Satan came and changed the word that was given to Eve in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted to the simplicity of Christ. It's like a brother John said this morning. Who told that man that there's no more apostles and prophets in the Bible? God didn't. The Holy Spirit didn't. Come on now. Some man tell him. And like somebody told Eve. And that's how he got to know it. And you see, this is why we must have the word test on everything. And we know that there's a fivefold ministry. It better amazes me to see people believing in an evangelist and a teacher, but they don't have a pastor or an apostle or a prophet. They're put off high. Well, I tell you, if ever we needed a prophet, we need one. If ever we needed an apostle, we need one. Now, what would you call a man in what, no matter what country it's in, like Tick Wee Brother Dixon Kondoji, that started about 350 churches? Surely it's like an apostle, a sent one in the Bible. And he's only one. There's other men that I've met and known, and they were mightily used of God, and many churches and works started through the ministry God gave them. And what did William Branham say? He says an apostle's a real missionary. That's a real apostle. They might call it a missionary, but he's an apostle. And there's a fivefold ministry. Thank God for it. Now we know because of man's disobedience, sin entered in. And that black part on the poppy, that's what it represented. Romans 5 and 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So one man finished this and another man started us. Amen. Universal condemnation, universal to those who will come, sanctification. Christ came to fix it, didn't he? And no other man could fix it. But Christ came to fix it. And I tell you, he done it well. See, that's the black part of your papa. You know, and Jesus Christ took our place at the cross. And he knew no sin, but he came sin for us. Romans 3, 23, whom God have set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You see, propitiation means Christ appeased God for us. We could never appease God. That's what propitiation means. And Brother Yule used to pray it a lot. In his prayer, propitiation, one fellow said to me, you know, what's that mean, propitiation? That's what it means. Jesus Christ appeased God. He pleased God. The law by itself never satisfied God. Man's own righteousness could never satisfy God. But Jesus Christ done it all. He fulfilled the law. He done it all. And he pleased God. And he pleased him, and he yet without sin. And he that had no sin and knew no sin took all our sin on his own side. Amen. On the tree and on the cross. The blood, you see, represents life. Leviticus 17, verse 11. And I've quoted it many times, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross made atonement for our souls. He paid the price for us. What an atonement. What an atonement. You know, I was blessed, and I'm rushing a bit because I don't want to hold this long, but I was blessed when one of the times Brother Brian came over. It was when we were in the wee Orange Hall, Brother Tyre, you know, Tully Leash. And my William came to that service and he prayed the sinner's prayer at the end of one of them meetings. Now, I know he's not here tonight, but he's still done it. And God still heard it. So somewhere along the road, God's going to have to move him. My, I would that God would light a fire under him. All of my children, all of your children. Bring every one of them in. But do you remember when Brian showed us from the sacrifices and the time in the Bible in the Old Testament, Solomon and all them times, what it would fill them big lorries with the blood from the animals. You know them big massive lorries you see pulling diesel or the milk or whatever it's on them. And you could fill, I can't remember how many of them it was, and yet with all the blood that came from one man was enough to save this whole world. Not wonderful. From one man, enough to save the whole world. Atonement. So Christ's blood was given on the altar of Calvary to make atonement, to make us clean. The red blood of Jesus. So when you wear your wee red poppy, you wear it with pride. Amen. There's a lot of talk about pride, but there's real pride. Amen. They've misused the word pride, but pride's a real word. Hallelujah. And we should wear the cross, the poppy with pride. And when we wear the poppy with pride, and when we look at it, we look in the middle of it, we see the black and say, that's when Jesus took all my sins. And we see the red, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. And you see that wee green leaf? That's a new beginning. Green always speaks of the new beginning. The evergreens of God. I could preach a whole more sermon on, but I'm closing. I'm closing tonight. You know you're God's evergreens. You know that. The emerald. You go into Revelations, you can read all about it. Praise God. 1 Peter says, he his own self took our sins and his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24, that he being dead to sins, we should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes, wounds, we were healed. Thank God tonight. You know, when somebody flashes an old football top or any top, it's a no standing against the poppy. Because all it represents is just an old team. And there's nothing wrong if you like a team. I have a team I like. They wear red. And I like them. But you know what I mean? They'll not do nothing for you. They'll never save you. And the wee poppy, I'm not saying it's going to save you. But it'll let you think about someone that can. And not only that, it'll remember the people that shed their blood in that field. And them wars, all them wars. We're remembering them. We're saying, thank you, Lord. For every life was precious in the eyes of the Lord. Every life. You know, when I read William Mullen's life story, I can tell you it really touched me. A boy lifted in his dad's arms. He was 6 years old, I think. And he never seen his dad again. He was killed in the Battle of the Somme. William Mullen might have believed all we believe, but that man seen people saved. God used him because of his mother's prayers. She knelt on the cobble floor every night, praying for every one of them. And when she got to William, she prayed a special prayer for William Mullen every night. Save Willie. Save. You should never look at your children and accept what the devil tells you. They're too far gone. They're too deep in sin. Nobody was any deeper than their own selves. But Jesus went deeper than the deep. He went the whole way to the deepest caverns of the dark. And he set captives free. And it couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. He rose up triumphant. And her brother John quotes it often. And he gave gifts on the man when he rose. That's what he done. Isn't that wonderful? And he's ours tonight. And he hears our prayer. It's only a prayer away. Not matter where he is tonight or where she is tonight. Doesn't matter if they're living in sin. If they're in a pub. If they're on drugs, the Lord can reach them. Don't forget, when this man hired this hall, John Power, to hold 600, his wee church had hardly a penny, and he took the money out of it, and some of them ridiculed him. He left a job of £1,000 a year back then for 150 a year for God's work. But God blessed him. There was no internet in them days. There was no phones or Facebook or any of these things that have gadgets. But God filled that place in 10 nights. 500 could see him. That is a move of God. Now you remember tonight, there's maybe not many of us in this room, but Jesus Christ is still Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's stand our feet tonight. Let's believe the Lord this evening. As our brother gets ready to come in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer for you. Be under expectation tonight. But God can move in your home, your family, on your daughters, on your sons. God can turn them around. And he can bring them in. God's able to do it. He's able to do it. Because he's given us authority and a name that's far above any other name. Praise God. Agree with me tonight if you have a need. Lift your hand to the Lord and we're going to pray this evening. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful things you've done. Lord, when we hear of this 11th hour and the 11th hour workers, the same baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same power of God. Oh Lord, how we need your power. How we need you to come amongst us with a demonstration of Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Fill us, I pray, afresh in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, you see the hands raised in this room. All of us as children, Lord, that's away tonight in the fields wild and bare. But Father, we claim them right now. We ask that the Holy Ghost go upon them and speak to them tonight and turn them tonight and move them tonight. We claim every one of them, every son, every daughter, every nephew, every niece, every aunt, every uncle, every relation represented in this house tonight. We claim every soul for the kingdom of God and we bring it into the book of Acts. In your house shall be saved. Lord, we believe it, and we're expecting it, that you'll move in every one of them. Cover them with your blood. We put the token on them now. By faith tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, we apply that blood token and the Holy Ghost on them right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the life of the blood come on them. Let it move them, I pray, and move every one of us this evening. Lord, we've heard your word today in this house. Father, we thank you for the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Don't be entangled again, you said, by the yoke of bondage. Him the Lord sets free is free indeed. Lord, we thank you for this freedom tonight. Father, I pray again for those needing a touch of their bodies. Oh God, give strength tonight till everyone in this house touch them with your power. Lord, you healed in a day gone by. You can heal tonight because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe you right now in the name of Jesus. Touch people. Lord, financial miracles, physical miracles. Let your power come upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus tonight. Lord, as a brother Gary comes, bless him, anoint him, touch him, minister unto them, and just have your way in these meetings. Bless her sister Alva as she plays the organ, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Bless all the children to this fellowship, and pray again for Sam and Linda and the family. Bless them, strengthen them. Oh God, move upon them. And for any others tonight that need your touch, move upon them, I pray. Father, I pray you reach out to the backslidden tonight. I pray that the Holy Ghost will tug on their heart and speak a word into their innermost being. Turn them again and bring them again in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we thank you for it this evening. Help us to return unto the old paths and seek for them ways for the Pentecostal blessing. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Bless your people tonight. Bless the people of Israel. Lord, do them good, I pray. Encamp them round about with the mighty host of heaven on every side and defeat their enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray tonight. Lord, we thank you as we already prayed and been said for Donald Trump. Lord, you've done it. You've done this thing. No man done it. You've done it. It's your doing. And we bless you for it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget Thursday night. We're still in Samuel. And the Lord bless you. God bless you, Brother Gary.
Amen. Praise God. There's a hymn, always forget how it starts. I'll never remember the first verse. But there's a verse in it that says, O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. Anybody know how that starts? Search me, O God. That's it. Search me, O God, Matthew, if we can. Try and sing that. There you go, off by heart. No, it's 801. Well, it's a good effort. search me, O God. We got that all, but 801.
No, it's not
801
in the
redemption. Well, it's 257. Well, there we go, Matthew. We need to make a correction on the overhead. It says redemption 801. There we go, redemption 257. Amen. Well, we'll give this a go. Is it KVF, Alva? Amen. Praise God. Let us sing this here this evening before we go. Search me, O God.
Save me from error, save me.
that last verse over again. Oh, Holy Ghost.